Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. You might have seen the viral video of UCLA gymnast Caitlin Ohashi performing her floor routine for a perfect 10 earlier this month. But Caitlin might not be a gymnast at all if it weren't for our guest this week, UCLA women's gymnastics coach Valerie Condos Field.
You don't have to take the joy out of learning, ever. And when joy is infused in the learning process, people actually learn better.
We'll talk to Coach Val about gymnastics, her battle with breast cancer, and her hopes for the future on this week's American Cafe. Have you seen the viral video of UCLA gymnast Caitlin Ohashi performing her floor routine at the Collegiate Challenge in Anaheim, California earlier this month? She flips and leaps and twists and whips her hands through the air. One adjective that has been attached to the routine, which has been viewed tens of millions of times on YouTube, is joyful. But it might not have happened at all if it weren't for her coach, Valerie Condos Field. I got the chance to talk to Miss Val about Caitlin, her own battle with breast cancer, and her perspective on what it truly means to win.
People keep using the word joy and joyful when they watch her. And, you know, I think we're all starved right now for joy in our lives. So she's coming to us at a really important time for all of us, which is why she's gone viral. But she grew up. She was the best gymnast in the world when she was 12, 13, 14 years old. She's the only gymnast to have ever beat Simone Biles in the all-around. And, you know, in that environment, there wasn't any joy. It was a very strict Russian type of training. And they know how to get results, but it's not often joyful. And it took really me really earning her trust when she came to UCLA to start turning that around. And it took about a year and a half to earn that trust.
So what were some of the things that you did to earn that trust? Because she had been, as you mentioned, an elite gymnast and on her way to the Olympics, but then she got hurt. She had a back injury, and she said, you know, I just don't want to be great again. I think you asked her when was the last time she loved doing it. Wasn't that one of the things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was when she had just won the American Cup. She won the all-around, and she called me right after that. And, you know, out of the blue, I get a call from the best gymnast in the world saying she doesn't want to train for the Olympic Games. She wants to come to school and come to UCLA. And I was just shocked. And so wanting to delve a little deeper and wanting to make sure that this wasn't just a gut reaction, that she was making a quick reaction to something she was feeling, I just started asking her, you know, why? And when was the last time that you really loved gymnastics? And she thought about it, and she said, when I was 11, before I went elite. I said, so you haven't enjoyed any of the process of being a great gymnast? She said, no. And I said, you just won American Cup. What do you mean? That had to be done. She goes, no, it wasn't. And so then she came in her freshman year, and she really wasn't serious about being a great athlete. She wasn't in great shape. She got out of shape quickly and didn't pay much attention to school or gymnastics or anything. And we were in a team meeting with our sports psychologist. And he was explaining that all of us have an anchor inside of us that holds us back from being our best. And when he got to Caitlin and said, what's your anchor? She said, you know what, I just don't want to be great again. And it took the wind out of me. I was like, I felt like I had been punched in the gut. And shortly after she was trying to explain herself, one of her teammates explained to the psychologist that Caitlin was the best gymnast in the world. And during that time, she was miserable. All she associates with greatness is unhappiness. So why would she want to go back to that? And that's when it made so much sense to me, that I would have to earn her trust, that she really believes that I care more about her as a person than as an athlete, that her well-being as a human being is more important to me than the scores that she will score for us. And it took a good year and a half for me to earn that trust.
Now, you also had a personal battle of your own a couple of years ago where you had to draw on resources of joy, shall we say. You're a cancer survivor. What kept you going through your battle with breast cancer?
When I got the call that I had a very aggressive form of breast cancer, as soon as I hung up the phone with my doctor, I heard very clearly, be anxious for nothing and grateful for all things. And whether you and your listeners translate that as the cosmic universe or universal energy or whatever, I translated that to God speaking to me and saying, be anxious for nothing and grateful for all things. And I thought, how am I supposed to do that? I just got diagnosed with a potentially fatal disease. And the next day, when I went to see my oncologist, and she told me that I had gone from having the worst type of breast cancer to the best type, because had I gotten diagnosed 10 years prior, they had absolutely nothing for my type of breast cancer. But if I chose to get chemotherapy for a year, she knew it would work. And at that moment, I understood how I was not born to be anxious. It was through gratitude. Gratitude that I didn't have to get chemotherapy. I got to get chemotherapy. I get to get chemo. I get to have something that's going to help me have more days. And I honestly say that going through breast cancer was the best thing that ever happened in my life, because it has shaped every moment of my life since that time, where I just truly live in a constant state of gratitude.
And you also got the opportunity to be part of a clinical trial of a unique kind of chemotherapy, if I understand your story correctly, right?
I did. I was blessed to have been randomly drawn for the end of this clinical trial that offered me targeted chemotherapy. So the chemo acts like a smart bomb, and it doesn't go off in your body until it finds the cancer cells. And this is going to be the chemotherapy of the future for all cancers until we can eradicate that disease. But for me, it meant I didn't get sick and I didn't lose my hair. So I was able to work through the whole year that I was receiving chemo.
Your book talks about using uniqueness and authenticity to achieve success. It's not necessarily fitting into the mold that society has carved out to you, or for you, rather. What do you say to young women, either your gymnasts or other young women you meet on campus, when they face unique challenges? How does that play into when you talk to them?
Well, you know, I remember when I was going through chemo, and some of my athletes would always ask me, you know, how you feeling, Michelle? How you doing? I'd say, great. And one of them said to me one time, Michelle, you don't have to put on a good face for us. We know you have breast cancer. You know, you don't have to say I'm doing great. I said, but I am doing great, because I actually am really grateful that I've gotten targeted chemotherapy. I'm really grateful that I actually get to get chemotherapy and that I get to have surgery. And it was an eye-opener for me, as well as for me to share with our student athletes, that, you know, sometimes we think that life is only the good part of life. And so when the bad parts of life happen to us, we just want to get through them so that we can start living life again. But that's not life. Life is the good, the bad, the ugly, the hard times, the good times, the scary things, all of the things that happen to us. And it happens to every single human being that's ever lived. So it's not about worrying about why did this happen to me. It's about what am I going to do with this now? How am I going to respond to this? And people that find a way to find joy and appreciation and gratitude through the hard times, those are the ones that end up having the best lives.
This is your final season with UCLA. What's next for you?
A lot. I've been at UCLA for 36 years and won 7 national championships. And so I'm not leaving because I don't like the work. I love, love, love my job. But there's so much more I want to do. I really want to make sure that we get a course on the great John Wooden, Coach John Wooden at UCLA, and anywhere else that would like to implement a course on him and his teachings, especially of the Pyramid of Success. I am doing a lot of speaking engagements. I am a strong advocate for the young gymnast that went through, had to suffer through the sexual abuse that they did and all that that came out. So I'm advocating for them. I have got theater productions in the works and films in the work. And I just have a very, very full life that I'm thoroughly loving and enjoying.
You mentioned the Larry Nassar case and some of the stuff that USA Gymnastics has gone through. What advice would you give either parents or young women who want to compete at that elite level, but they look at what's happened and it gives them pause?
Well, that's a great question, and one that I get that I feel very strongly I need to address, because I have come out very strongly against the USA Gymnastics and how we've operated the last 3 or 4 decades. And my response to any parent who's questioning whether to put their son or daughter in gymnastics now is, now's the perfect time to do it, because all of this has been illuminated. It's all been uncovered. It's in the process still of being uncovered. And so there's not just accountability, but there is this magnifying glass on our sport. And so your children are actually, it's the best time for young people to be in gymnastics. We will remain in the spotlight for a long time, making sure that we cultivate a healthy culture for our children to learn gymnastics in. And it's not, switching that culture isn't going to happen overnight. And I feel very, very strongly that we need to shift our culture of parenting. First, parents need to learn how to redefine success for their children. It can't be all about winning. And we need to redefine this culture of success for coaches and all that in our country. So, you know, there's a massive, massive undertaking as far as that goes. However, the culture of abuse has stopped, and children now do know it's not okay to be treated a certain way, and they should know that they can go to their parents will listen, to their coaches will listen, to the owner of the gym, who will listen.
Coach Val, have I left anything out of our discussion you think my audience needs to hear?
I just feel really strongly about somehow being able to shift the narrative of what winning looks like in this country. And I feel from a gymnastics standpoint, it's our job, it's our duty, it's our responsibility to figure this out and to show the rest of the world how to develop champions at this really high level without taking away their joy. And I would want to challenge any teacher, parent, coach, anyone who is working with young children, challenge them to realize you don't have to take the joy out of learning, ever. And when joy is infused in the learning process, people actually learn better.
Valerie Condos-Field has led UCLA to 7 NCAA gymnastics titles and 15 Pac-12 conference titles in her career. If you want to learn more about her, or if you're interested in her book, Life is Short, Don't Wait to Dance, we will have links on our Facebook page. Thanks for being with us. For all the folks here at VOA, I'm David Byrd in Washington.